All right. Professional photographer over there, videographer. All right. Amen. Well, let's turn to Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4. Tonight we're going to talk about peace, which is God's grounding. Amen. It's good to be grounded, isn't it? In the Word and have peace. You know, crazy stuff can happen in life, right? And all kinds of stuff, but we can have peace no matter what. No matter what's going on in life, we can have peace. And we'll look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. This is the New Living Translation, and it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." Are you always full of joy in the Lord? Always? Really, Paul? Always? Yeah, it says that. "I say it again, rejoice." Oh, so he said it again, right? Because we didn't get it the first time. "Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do, and remember the Lord is coming soon. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." I saw some recently. They were talking, the minister was with the doctor, and they were talking about the vaccine and everything. And they was like, "Well, you don't need to pray about it. You just do it. And excuse me, I'm going to pray about everything, right? Now, I don't really need to pray about, I mean, if you want to, about what to wear and, you know, what to eat in the morning. But the point is, it's like decisions that you make, we should be praying about them. We should be communicating. The Lord wants to be involved in everything that we do, you know. "Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." You know, there are just some times in life where all, I mean, you know, everything's gone wrong. You read about people like King David. I mean, you know, Abraham, he lost, what? I mean, here we've got his nephews captured. Everything looks lost. David, he's at the, what is it, Ziklag, and the Amalekites came along and took him and all his men, their wives and their kids and all their belongings and everything. That's not really a time you want to have rejoicing, right? It's not a real like, "Hey, let's throw a party. We lost everything. Woo!" Right? They're going to send you to the rubber room, right? "We got this special jacket for you." Right? But we can rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't mean we don't experience grief. We don't experience these things. But what it means is we can have joy in the midst of everything. In the journey. That means we can have peace on the inside. We can have a storm going all around us. But the Spirit of God can give us peace throughout anything that happens. And then His peace, here we go, will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. This is a very important statement right here. Let me read it again. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ, right? People can come against you. People can do things. This is why people get hard-hearted, is because they don't guard their hearts. One version of one scripture says, above all, guard your heart. Why is it important? Because when you get bitter, you let God go, you let the things of God go, and then other things creep into your life, right? You know, how many times I've seen over the years where, you know, people come into the church and then something will happen, offense will happen, someone will offend them, or, you know, maybe they pray for something and they didn't necessarily see what they thought the results they should have gotten. They get offended with God. They're not guarding their heart. They don't have peace. And they're not guarding their heart and their minds as they live in Christ. So what happens is they get offended. They get upset. They blame God. They get bitter. They get angry, right? Bitterness is like you drinking poison and want the other person to die. It won't work, right? I mean, I'm sure over the years people have been, you know, upset with whatever, you know, and you can just, maybe there's people that have been upset with you over the years and you're just, I mean, you're eating supper and you don't even know anything, and then they're mad and upset about something, or maybe you're mad or offended at somebody else and they're at home eating TV dinners and eating popcorn and watching TV and they don't care. It all comes back to perspective, doesn't it? Right? And then how many of us observe the different personality types, right? Some people are just out there, right? They're just, you know, some of those people, they're just, you know, hey, man, you know, they're just on another planet. You know, some people are very strict. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't touch. And then you've got the laid back people, right? It'll get done sometime. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. Some people, have you been around people where everything's a drama, right? Everything, you know, it's a wreck all the time. They're always in crisis. I had a gal that I used to work with, you know, years ago, and a gal I used to also go to high school with and everything. And it was like, you talked to her, hey, how's it going? It's just awful. I mean, the world's coming to an end. Really, every day I talk to you, the world's coming to an end. Like, there's a crisis like 24/7. Give me a break, right? Every day's a crisis. And guess what? Every situation is not a crisis, right? Okay? Yeah. You forgot your homework? It's not a crisis. You just kind of irresponsible, right? So let's just kind of bring things back into perspective. So we don't need, well, it is. Okay. Maybe it is a crisis. Yeah. But, you know, you can't find your favorite shirt. That's not a crisis, okay? That's just, you just didn't hang your clothes up and you're not organized. All right? Let's just do that. All right? We'll just say that. And some people, they just have it all together. It seems like they're solid. They walk in the room and they're just, seem like they really got it together. You know, years ago, I got done with high school, I studied electronics. And you'll know that current always flows in one direction, right? You'll see like a positive and a negative. Well, and besides what we call reverse polarity, a positive will always go to the negative. It will always go to ground, right? So it has one direction. It always is looking for ground. When you see lightning outside, where is it going? It's looking for ground, right? It's looking for the shortest point to go to ground, always. And so, you know, if you ever study music or anything, music is all about tension and release, right? There's going to be tension and release. That's why when you listen to an end of a song and you, what we call it is, in music terms, we call it the tonic chord or something that the tone that is the head of the key. So if we're playing a music in the key of A, A is home base. A makes you feel like, oh, it's resolved and it feels good. Right? So usually when you listen to a song and it ends, you can feel that bomb and you feel like, oh, it's over. And so there's tension release. Ground, electricity always goes to ground. Why? There's always, we are always, in this world, everything is to come to a conclusion. We always want to come to a conclusion or be grounded in something. We need to have peace. We need to have release on some things, right? God is the peace, or he's the ground in our lives. He grounds us. He anchors us. And that's where I remember years ago when I was a kid, we had an electrical storm, and we had a dishwasher in our house, and it got hit by lightning, right? Well, or you have a computer, and then something goes haywire, what is it? You want to make sure you have a good ground on it, right? Because if you do have something or something like, you know, we've had things in the past where they've had an electrical storm, I unplug things. Why? Because I don't want it connected to anything in case something does happen, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. So if you want to be grounded and peace in your life, Jesus is going to outline this for us in this next scripture. He gives us an outline for it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. This is the New Living Translation. Verse 25 says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Some of the ladies would be like, well, I don't think so, but, right? Look at the birds. And what was the little bird's name? Peep. So you look at Peep, right? All right, we're going to take Peep for example. All right, the little guy was just up here. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable than him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life, right? Remember, I had a grandmother. One of my grandmothers, she just was like all the time, well, I would just worry about things and, you know, people and family. I just worry about things. Why? What does that do for you, you know? Well, I'm just worrying. I'm just worried. You know, before I had all this teaching, I really didn't care about too much of anything. I mean, not to say I didn't care about people, but I didn't really worry about stuff, you know? I still don't, right? Well, you know, what happens if the house burns down? We'll just build another one. We'll just buy another one, right? Why am I going to be upset about it? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Absolutely not. What is Jesus trying to get across to us here? He's like, it doesn't matter what goes on in life, God still wants to provide for you. He still wants to care for you. He is a loving Father. The problem we get into often is, for example, it all goes back to Genesis chapter 1 and the first part of Genesis, the first three chapters of Genesis. God is the perfect Father. He provides us garden. He provides everything, all of our needs. And then Satan comes along and questions that, right? Are you sure about that? Are you sure about, oh, your eyes are going to be open. Let me tell you what their eyes are open to. Sin, death, war, disease. Yeah, that's something I don't really want to be open to, right? Verse 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers, wildflowers, that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, well, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your healthy Father already knows all your needs, right? And just talking about perspective, I was meeting with this person one time, multi-millions of dollars, right? Okay? Had no expenses. Drive to this guy that I knew and his family, do this cheap car, everything was paid off. It was like this really old car and everything, multi-millions of dollars. And they told me, we're just concerned, we're just not going to make it, you know? No debt, no nothing, kids are all gone and everything else too. I mean, these people were absolutely loaded and they're worried, right? It's all perspective, right? I mean, and it's some people, it's the hoarding mentality. I don't have enough. I don't have enough stuff. I don't have this. I don't have enough money. I don't have this. Blah, 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 blah. Do you have a shirt on your back? Do we have food to eat? Again, it's having joy in where we're at. I always like to think, too, having joy in the journey. You may not be exactly where you want to be in life, but the point is this. God wants us to have joy in every aspect of our life, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're at. I've been times where, at Rhema, and this is the Bible right here. This is my go-to Bible. You can tell it's been dropped in my dog's bowl one Sunday morning. I was getting ready, went, whoop, it fell out into the dog's bowl and got all wet. And Romans, the book of Romans here is coming out. Yeah, it's come out. So this is my little, extra part here that's kind of come out. I need to probably have it sent away and get it rebound and stuff. But I took this Bible one time, right? And we needed a car. Our car blew up. And it was literally on its last leg. And I took the Bible, tossed it down, stood on it, and I said, God, I don't know what else to do. I'm standing in faith. We need a vehicle. And we were believing for a specific vehicle. And that day, a person called Adrian and said, hey, I got this vehicle. It was the same color and everything that we were believing for. It says, hey, can you come over and pick it up today? Yeah. Do you have time? Well, 5 minutes be quick enough for you? Right? So God is supply our needs according to riches and glory. Amen? And you know, the really crazy thing is we can have joy because God's working on things behind the scenes for us that we don't even know about. We're over here worrying. God's like, it's on the way. I mean, hello, the FedEx guy is about your door. But we're panicking and going in a hissy fit here because, again, we're worried. We're upset. Oh, what happens? What happens if it doesn't come through? So again, verse 31, so don't worry about the things saying, well, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? The things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Here we go. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Man, here we go. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You know, here we have people that are paralyzed with fear. I'm not saying that the coronavirus isn't real and people haven't gotten it and people haven't died. We're not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that there are people out there that are paralyzed with fear that they won't live their lives because of fear. Paranoia, right? You know, well, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to. But here we go. See, and this is why, you know, I've seen ministers get on TV and they'll say, you need to go get it. You need to go get a COVID shot. You need to do this. This is your answer. This is your Savior. No, there's only one Savior, and we're going to celebrate his death and resurrection next week, and his name is Jesus, right? We're not denying any of those things, but we're saying this scripture right now, verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else, above all the doctors, above all everything that they can provide, above your bank account, above everything. You have got to seek God on everything, above all things. I was listening to, Adrian was talking about a friend of hers and talking about different things. And she was talking about, you know what, I just prayed and I had peace about this decision. See, we go with peace, right? We go with on the inside peace. And now we've gotten it. We're living in this world right now where we don't have decisions. If you don't do this, you know, I don't make anybody accept Jesus, right? People got to make a decision to follow Jesus. The Bible says, choose this day whom you'll serve in Deuteronomy, right? We have a choice. Deuteronomy says, Deuteronomy, it lists about 14 verses, and it says, if you follow me, all these blessings will follow. And then the laundry list for those who don't follow is really bad and really long. So God is not saying you have to serve me, but if you don't, it's going to be bad. It's not going to be pretty. So we seek the kingdom of God above all else and his righteousness and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today, right? I mean, I like to plan out and my weeks, you know, I have a calendar and I all the things I'm doing and everything, appointments and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't worry about that stuff till, you know, I plan ahead, but I'm not going to get upset and worry about any of that stuff until that day. I'll take care of it that day. I'm not going to be upset about it. So again, life is all about perspective. You know, just giving us some perspective here. I remember I was watching years ago, it was about video clip about perspective, right? And, you know, how many of you know Arnold Schwarzenegger? The girly man, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've watched old videos of him about, you know, when he worked out and when he was Mr. Universe and Mr. Soliverse or Universe or whatever the verse is that he used to be. You know, how much he worked, and I thought, man, that guy's big and everything. But you know what? When he was in a movie with Wilt Chamberlain, they had him next to Wilt Chamberlain. You know, he didn't look so big. You know? And here's Arnold pumping, and he's huge and he's big and he's He's a great big massive guy. And then you got Wilt Chamberlain that's like at least a foot taller than him, right? What's Arnold 6'2", and I don't know, Wilt Chamberlain's almost 7 foot or whatever when he was alive. So it's all perspective, isn't it? You know, when you look at something, it looks enormous. But when you compare it to God, again, it's perspective, right? Well, I just don't know. That's why, again, we come back to the book of Psalms. It says, magnify the Lord, magnify God. It doesn't mean God is going to be any bigger or any smaller. It just means that in our mind, we are magnifying God next to whatever that is we're dealing with. Right? John G. Lake used to take the bubonic plague, and there were doctors there, and they were all concerned about it. You know, that was the COVID back then. You know, all the people were like, well, you know, he's like, no, take some foam, put it on there. When it touched your skin, it automatically died. Right? Now, John G. Lake was definitely a faith guy. But again, what was John G. Lake's perspective? It was like, God is bigger than the bubonic plague. I'm not going to run from this thing. I'm not going to, you know, cower down to this, but I serve a bigger God than the COVID. And I serve a bigger God than the bubonic plague. And I serve a bigger God than all of these things. And I'm embarrassed to say we've got so many ministers and so many people that, you know, they're just, oh, I don't want to open the churches up. Well, people need Jesus, right? And as I was praying earlier, we were praying in the Spirit earlier, and you know, I just saw, and I just want to wait to share this, but I saw people that are beginning to have an inferno building in them by the Spirit of God. And I believe that people are going to be so hungry that no government mandate, no governor, executive, whatever is going to stop this. People are going to be so hungry for God, they're going to go out. And we're going to see some things overturn, amen, because people are going to be so hungry. You know, rebellion is not always a bad thing as long as you're rebelling against evil. Rebellion can be a good thing. And so, you know, as long as because we see rebellion all throughout the Bible, look at Daniel. Turn to Daniel here. And again, in the context of following God, right? In the context of righteousness. I was laughing, and I've said this years ago. I was watching this politician who was quoting Romans, how you as Christians, you all need to, you know, obey the government. And that's real convenient for him to quote that scripture as a government official, but he seems to forget about Daniel, right? And he seems to forget about these other scriptures. Like, yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he also forgets about Exodus. And also forgets about Daniel. And he also forgets about all of these other things where the government and the oppressive pagans at the time are trying to infiltrate and take over God's people. And it doesn't end up very well for them. It does not end up very well. And the same God that was in the Old Testament is still the same God in 2021. Amen? And that's why I just knew that there's going to be politicians going to fall, and I've already talked about it, because you can't blaspheme God. You can't say that we don't need God or we're going to overturn, we're going to take care of this COVID, and we don't need God. No, we're going to need God, and it's not going to be well for you. So, and just another thing about perspective, you know, I was watching this documentary of this young gal that was in North Korea. And her story just really captivated me. She was a teenager and fled to China. But while she lived in North Korea, she's talking about just all the propaganda and all the brainwashing. And if you said or did anything out of order, they would kill three generations of your family, right? If you didn't do certain things. So there was this... It was the fear and the terror that was put into these people's hearts. She said there was no food. You know, they didn't have food. I mean, when she came to the United States, it was like such an eye-opener to see grocery stores and abundance. And she was talking about she had an infection one time, and they didn't have anesthesia, so they just operated right there on the spot without anesthesia, and she was completely awake. So, you know, again, it comes back to perspective. If we look about how good God is, and we really won the lottery living in the United States, it is an absolute blessing. But we look here at Daniel and verse 5, and it says, when you hear Daniel chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and then we'll skip down here to the New Living Translation. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Oh, that's delightful. Where do I sign up for that, right? Verse 11, we'll skip down to 11. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a fiery furnace. Okay, now these are some of the officials that are now talking with Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 12, but there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to wear their mask, serve your gods, and do not worship Fauci. The golden statue that you've set up, or CNN, excuse me. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. Now he's going to give him the speech right now. I'm sorry, we need to wear the mask. You need to obey. You need to just go blindly here. Rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him. Now he's giving okay, guys, I don't think you heard it the first time, okay? I think there may have been a hearing impairment here, but I'm going to go over one more time for you. Okay, here we go. I will give you, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship the golden statue that I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, right? Guys, I don't think you heard me, but one more time, let's go over this so there's no mistakes. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Ooh. Oh, yeah, your little God or whatever God that you worship isn't going to be able to rescue you. Those are fighting words with God. I'm telling you right now, you study the Bible. He doesn't like the being called, you're a dinky guy, you don't have any power. He's like, I've just got something to show you. I've got this little trick up my sleeve, and we're going to see how you like it. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, we are so sorry. We didn't know there was a mask mandate. We didn't know that we were supposed to bow down. We didn't know we were supposed to, we couldn't post that on Facebook. We're sorry we posted it on YouTube. Excuse me, please forgive me. No, they didn't. What'd they say? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Basically, we don't care, right? If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Perspective! Little bitty golden God and little bitty old Nebuchadnezzar over here and great big God. They had the right perspective, didn't they? Right? The government telling me what to do, and they're going to tell me who to worship and what to do and where to bow down and do this, and we're going to take your rights away and blah, 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 blah. And you have no power because I serve a great God over here. Amen? Because my Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that in the end times, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So it doesn't matter what mandate. It doesn't matter what's going on. Guess what? We win. And God's the answer, period. Jesus is king. Exodus chapter 7, verse 16. Exodus 7, verse 16. Are we feeling good tonight? Yay! I'm preaching myself happy. because it's the word of God and it's all good. And he is so awesome, right? Amen. Hallelujah. And thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses. Thank God for police officers. And thank God for our good government. Amen. Hallelujah. The people that are really trying to do the right things, we honor them. And we do love them. And we love all people, right? Amen. And we just got to understand that we don't hate the people who are deceived or don't understand, because often they're just caught up in it and they're blind, their eyes are blinded and they just don't know. And we still love them. Amen. But we do thank God for the good people, because there are good people out there, and there's good government people out there, and there's good doctors, and there's people that really do care. And I believe that a lot of people really in their heart, they do things because they're convinced it's the right thing. Amen. I really believe that most people do things because they care about people. Amen. But it's just sometimes they don't understand. And so we need to pray for them. We still need to love them. Sometimes they need correction, or they need kind of their chain jerked a little bit. But on the other hand, we still love them. Amen. And if we, the church, are going to blend with the world, then what's the point? I've said that before, you know. You just cannot believe this, but I've got minister friends of mine that have been in other churches, and then pastors have got a liquor wet bar in their office. I am not kidding. And there are churches that they'll have wine and cheese at the door for guests. I mean, it's just, guys, if we're not going to be separate from the world, then what are we doing here? Hello? We've got it. We've got to make a stand. We've got to stand for righteousness, right? If all we're doing is we never mention God and his healing power and his loving mercy or anything else too, and we're just like, well, we'll fix it ourselves. We'll just do this. We'll take this. We'll do this. Not to say those things are bad, talking about medication or anything, but if we don't rely on God and to say, we're going to trust God and believe him. Amen? Exodus chapter 7, verse 16. I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know if you guys are with me or not. I hope I'm not putting you to sleep, but we're in this. Amen? We're in it to win it. Hallelujah. Amen. So I told people I worked with in the past, hallelujah, we're doing something, and I'm like, I'm in it to win it. Amen? We're in it to win it. Hallelujah. We're going to do it. Amen. Verse 16, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God. Now this is where Moses and Aaron is confronting Pharaoh. And God told Moses, he goes, I am going to make you as God, meaning in Pharaoh's eyes, you're going to be a representation of me, and then Aaron will be a prophet. Okay? And he goes, basically, I'm giving you the words, and you're going to represent me. So it's a direct representation of him. In verse 16, and thou shalt say in him, sorry, this is King James because I like it, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent unto me, unto you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto that we would not hear, or we would go out. Moses is saying, let my people go so that we can go in the wilderness and worship and serve God. We are seeing Moses here, you know, and it's so sad. We're living in a nation where we're seeing so many pastors that haven't opened their churches yet. They're afraid of Pharaoh. Hey, I am sorry, but I am petrified of God, meaning he is real, and there are judgments for disobedience. Right? And it doesn't mean I'm scared of him, like I'm afraid and anything. It's just that when you honor and you reverence someone and he says something, do it. Do it. And so what happens here when he doesn't do it? Well, I'm going to tell you the ending. It doesn't end up very good, right? All the plagues happened. All the bad things happened. And where did it all start? God said, tell him I want to have a church service in the wilderness with my kids, and we're going to have church in the wilderness. And would Pharaoh say, no, not going to happen? And you look what's happening right now in America with all of the Pharaohs that said no. And guess what? It all goes back to what I originally said earlier. We're going to have peace, aren't we? We're going to be grounded. Oh, but they said we can't. You know, it was funny because I would talk to pastors too, pastor friends of mine, and they're just all scared, like, well. I mean, are you a minister? I mean, are we faith people or not?
Right.
You know, I mean, my mind is just like, you're saying you're a faith person, but you're scared to hold services, right? I want to be in church. I want to have praise and worship. I want to study the word together. I don't know. I don't get it. Whatever. So, Philippians 4, we'll end there where we started. We made a full circle. We're just chasing our tail here, but it's all good. It's the head and the end. So we can have peace of God no matter what happens, right? Everything can be falling apart, and we still have the peace of God. Those people in China, those people know how to worship God, I'm telling you what, right now. And they're living in an oppressive state. Let me just say this. People cave because they're not committed before they get there. Did you hear me? People cave because they're not committed to the outcome, right? If Jesus doesn't come back and I die someday of 100 years old or whatever, okay, long time down the road, 120, whatever, I don't know, someday. But when I die, if he doesn't, the rapture doesn't happen, I will be on my deathbed proclaiming the Lord. Nothing will change that, right? Because I'm committed to the cause. I'm going to die. I will die committed to Jesus. That's it. There's no anything else. We're living in a nation now where, you know, well, if there's any pressure or anything else, you know. And I love people, but I tell you what, if you get me riled up, you better get back, right? And it's not because I don't love you, but the point is this, we're going to serve God no matter what. No matter what comes at us, we are going to serve the Lord. Jesus is Lord. We're going to worship God because it is our right to do it here. And no man, no government, no person, no individual, no entity is going to take that from us because it doesn't come. Those rights don't come from them. It comes from our Father. We don't ask. I don't ask for permission to worship God. I don't ask for permission to come to church. I don't need to ask permission. We're just, it's that slope that keeps going farther. Well, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. I want to see you make me. Right? Well, we're going to take this from you. No. I don't want to hear you talking about it, politician. I want you to come to my house and try to do it. Because it's never going to happen. We're going to serve God no matter what. Amen? It's going to happen. And so, you know, like I was telling my girls today, there are no cowards in history. Nobody reveres any cowards. Nobody cares about cowards. And nobody writes songs about cowards. They're only concerned in people who have guts, who do what other people don't want to do. They'll say what other people don't want to say. All of the people that we revere, the most important person that we revere that we will celebrate every day is Jesus. Jesus said and did things that nobody else said or did. And he was also attacked for it, right? But the point is this, the history books are not full of cowards. They are full of people who stepped up and were committed to the cause all the way to the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. You're like, well, Pastor Brent, how in the world can we have joy about what the stuff you talked about? Because people don't control me. I am possessed of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have the Holy Spirit living in me and upon me. No man controls my destiny other than God. No one does. And we need to get to the point where we are so hungry and on fire for the things of God. The religious council couldn't contain the apostles. The Pharisees couldn't contain the apostles. The Sadducees couldn't contain the apostles. They were a flaming fireballs that were unstoppable. And I believe we're going to see the church see that again, and people are going forth. I'm wanting that for myself. That I'm moving forth. Amen. And we're moving mountains because of the Mark 11 faith. Amen. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon, right? What does that mean? Urgency. Urgency. And the last part of it is don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, right? I've come to the conclusion, you know, when I was younger, I was, you know, like, why are they doing this? And why are they? Now I'm just like, God, I'm praying about it. It's your deal. Whatever. I'm going to bed. I'm going to have a bowl of ice cream. I don't care, whatever. I mean, it's like, I don't even care anymore, right? Why? Because we can't control people. I mean, cults do that. Cults say, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. No. Jesus gave us an opportunity to choose, right? We see people, oh, just like when he said, hey, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then we see all these disciples left him at the, you know, left him with that. Jesus didn't go, oh, please come back. Oh, please come back. No, you have to follow me. You have to follow me. He's like, okay. Man, it was a privilege to serve Jesus, right? I mean, you look, I was just, my personal prayer time, or my, just yesterday I was reading through and just studying my personal prayer time. I've kind of been all over the place, but I'm just kind of recounting the accounts of Peter and his brother and James and John and how they, you know, it, the sons of Zebedee, we see after Peter and his brother Andrew were called, Jesus said, hey, follow me, and they dropped their nets and followed him, and they were fishermen. And then we see the sons of Zebedee that were James and John, and their dad was there. I mean, can you imagine that? You got there's the dad, and we've got his two sons are going to take over the family business, and they're like, see ya. Whoops. I mean, how would you like that? You know, you're like, I got this boat, I got these nets, I got this business, and you just took over my labor. I mean, my whole workforce just left. Talk about being offended, right? And they just dropped everything and followed Jesus. I'm like, because it just dawned on me. I'm like, this, the dad's workforce, his whole business, I mean, his whole legacy is gone to follow this guy that walked by. Amazing, huh? It really, the Bible is so amazing with what Jesus did. He is just amazing. And I know that there was probably just, everybody looked at him and they just thought there's something about him that is totally different. And don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Why are we going to have the peace? Because number one, our mind's going to, our perspective's going to be intact. And also, two, we're going to pray and we're going to rely on him. And the answers that we get from him, I mean, it's like a pit bull on a T-bone steak. I mean, you ain't going to let it go for nothing, right? Things in my life, when you see, I know that 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 I'm right, you can't talk me out of it, right? Now, I know there's some things, like I know, it's like, hey, I don't know everything about everything. I mean, I know a lot of my limitations, but there are just some things that you know, don't ever let it go. Don't ever compromise, like the Word of God. Well, it may be this, no, it is the infallible Word of God, because it's supernatural. Nothing will change that, right? Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Nothing will ever, ever pull me away from that. Because it's a universal truth. It's a spiritual truth that exists no matter what. And then finally, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Like I said earlier, his peace is going to guard your heart and your mind, right? Your mind can go racing. Your mind can go, I said this before, and, you know, some of these criminals in the past talking about, oh, would you do this when you get out and everything? And they're like, some of them, yeah, I just can't control myself. Well, you can control yourself, right? Your mind can be. Now, like Brother Hagin says, I can't control if a bird flies over my head, but I can control whether it's going to make a nest in my hair or not, right? I mean, you just don't let things stay there. But when we're praying and we're in Him, His peace is going to guard our heart. His peace is going to guard our mind as we live in Christ. Amen? And I think that's why people don't have peace right now, especially in the world, in the world system. They're fearing about everything, right? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to lose my job because of this. Am I going to get sick? Am I going to blah, 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 blah? You know? A meteorite could fall on my head tonight. I don't know, right? I mean, it's like 100 billion things could happen. But guess what? I'm still going to go to bed tonight. I'm still going to relax. I'm going to trust in God and be happy about it. Amen? Don't worry, be happy now. Okay. Okay, Molly, you can turn that off. Thank you, Mary. She did a great job tonight, didn't she? She's my little camera gal. Yay, Molly! We're videotaping tonight, so we are trying some video, trying to maybe get away from the audio and trying to get some video, try to edit it. We're going to see how it turned out tonight. So anyway, we're just experimenting, see if that's worked, so I could get a better camera or not. We're trying to get just test the waters out and see how it looks. So we'll let you know in the weeks to come how things will turn out. But anyway, good job, Molly. So Father, let me just pray real quick. Father, we thank you. God, I pray for fireballs tonight, Lord God. People that are just immovable from the Word of God. People that just have a hunger for you and hunger for people, Lord. Lord God, that we love people. That we're going to stand up for righteousness. We're going to stand for Jesus Christ. We're going to stand for the things of God. We're going to stand for salvation. We're going to stand for the Spirit of God and praying in the Spirit and the Spirit-filled life, Lord God. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And we declare, Lord, right now that this place is overflowing in the name of Jesus. That there are passionate people all over that are hungry for the Word of God, hungry for truth. They're not going to be afraid. When they come here, they can be themselves. They don't have to be on guard. But Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that there is a supernatural peace that passes all understanding that inhabits this body of believers. Father, we thank you for it. I thank you for them and their faithfulness and their love for you and each other. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You guys have a great week. Wednesday night prayer. More prayer. Hallelujah.